Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Kaneko Otaku podcast. We are into 2021 with our second season.
Ooh,
very exciting, even though I don't really sound it because I'm super tired right now.
Me too. I slept in.
I've been trying to make sleep. I guess that's kind of my New Year's resolution, where I'm going to try and get a good amount of sleep and actually go to bed at a pretty reasonable time.
Are you already failing at your New Year's resolution?
Well, it's not that I'm failing. It's just that you kind of have to wean yourself into it. I realize that, like, if you're used to sleeping at like 2 a.m. in the morning, actually just going at 11 a.m., it's just really, really hard to do, just because your body is just used to sleeping at a specific time. And so I've been kind of pushing everything back by like, even as much as little as like 15 minute increments over the course of like several days, which will hopefully bring me back to a good amount. But
right. I'm assuming you mean 11 p.m.
11 p.m. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I go to sleep at 11 a.m.
So it's 11 a.m. somewhere. Welcome back, everybody. This is our first episode in the new year. And it's been, to be perfectly honest, like, it's been a couple weeks since our last episode, which was on the 24th, which was our deep dive, and it almost felt as if like I could have used a longer break from that episode, because that episode killed me. Like, both the preparation as well as the actual recording of it. It was a big one, and it got us a lot of traffic. Like, we did our best to spread on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit to just bring things out. It was probably my favorite episode of the year. So it was kind of good that we finished with it.
Yes, finish on a high note. Mm-hmm. We did reach 1,000 downloads.
Yes, we did.
It's crazy.
Which was really, really good. And it's, it sets a good precedent for what's to come.
Yeah.
So this episode today is just going to be a kind of like a review of, I guess, a review of the year. And just to see with where things went, how we started, where we're going from this point onward. So this is a bit of a reflection of the past year, as well as a brief look into, I guess, what's to come, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I will say that, just going back to the Toradora episode, because I do want to talk about it just a little bit.
Okay.
One, even though it was our most recent episode, it is our top episode. So it tops, most people will usually listen to episode one, and that is, I'm looking at the statistics right now, that is the second top episode. The Toradora episode completely smashed everything.
That's pretty good. That means that we can do some tailored episodes and get some traffic that way, right?
And we've gotten a little bit of feedback from some of our listeners in terms of what they liked. And I guess we'll probably talk about that in terms of what we're looking at moving forward. The other thing about Toradora is that since I spent so much time on it, like, all the information's still fresh in my mind. Like, I can still recall and make arguments about the show. I was talking to a friend about it last night. Because I was playing online with him, because he's a streamer, and I joined him for an evening of playing, and he just asked me what I was up to, and that was when I told him that, well, you know, I've been doing a podcast for the past year. That's kind of it's been my COVID hobby, and he asked me, like, what were some of the stuff I talked about? And I talked about the recent episode where, oh, yeah, I know we had an episode with Toradora, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, you know, cool. Like, I've seen it. Like, I really like the show. And we started talking about it. And, like, I just recalled, like all of my notes,
everything.
Yeah, it's like, well, like here's the thing.
Flashbacks.
Like, this is like Toradora is like normally seen as a romantic comedy, and I really wanted to take a different spin when it came to how I saw it. And then I just recalled all of the information, and it also made me remember a lot of the comments that we got when it came to people responding to our posts. Episode.
Yeah.
And I get it's just natural that if you give an opinion, there's always going to be someone that doesn't have the same opinion and is going to.
Oh yeah. Don't worry. I've experienced this a lot recently. Right. So
yeah. And I even got a couple private messages as well regarding it. And like some of the messages were like, I don't think you're right. Like, that's not what Toradora is about. And like the thing about when I did my analysis is that's, I'm not saying that Toradora isn't a romantic comedy.
Entirely.
Entirely. No, like what I'm saying is like, yes, it is a romantic comedy, but this is how I'm going to approach it from. So it's not that I disagree with you. It's just that I'm going to look at this from a certain point of view and take it and analyze it from that point of view and try to find evidence from that point of view, which is really what critical analysis is about. It's not that you believe a certain thing. It's, can you argue about a certain thing?
That's interesting because you did make that clarification in the beginning that we were just going to analyze. I think so. As far as I remember, that you wanted to analyze it from that point of view,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to explore that argument.
Yeah.
I'm actually very intrigued by the fact that you got private messages like people disagreeing with you. Because in the end, we're still saying that the show is really good.
Yeah, we're still saying that it's good. But I just don't know if it's the culture of now where people just can't accept that someone has a different opinion from them.
Man.
Or where it's we're at the point where even the most trivial of things, such as what is this cartoon about?
Is triggering.
It's triggering, right?
See, that's like, what I was like, hoping to get when I was started bashing. Well, I don't want to say bashing, but giving my opinion on
mm-hmm.
such a beloved show as yeah. Hunter x Hunter.
And it's just...
And I didn't get that. But you get that from your opinion about Toradora? What?
It's just people get so defensive about these kinds of things. Where there are so many more important things that you can probably be outraged about. Or maybe like people are like super outraged about that stuff. And then it's kind of leaking into their everyday life where they're going to get pissed off about everything.
Maybe, maybe.
But I mean, like this is a critical analysis of something. And I'm not like, this isn't my beliefs. Like, this is me doing a quasi-academic term paper on a subject that I just happen to like. So
I would also like to point out that we didn't bash other people's opinions.
Yeah, we didn't bash. And like
You know, like we didn't go into it saying you guys are wrong.
Yeah, no, and it's not about like what's right and what's wrong. It's about, well, this is what I saw, right? Yeah,
it's a different approach.
And I experienced this a lot in my the English course that I took, where I had a couple meetings with my like personal meetings with my profs where we would just talk about it, and like he brought it up and just that. It's not about what you think, or it's not about what like you personally think. It's about what can you find, and can you find evidence that backs up the argument? So, for example, like this was a really, really contentious debate because I took a very like, I don't want to say that it was a like homophobic or like transphobic approach, because I'm extremely like I'm extremely progressive, I'm extremely liberal, and all that. But like, we were doing this analysis of a poem, and like the general consensus was like this poem was about gender fluidity. And so like I was reading it and I was like, you know, totally, like I can understand that. And if you look at the history of the history of the author was a lesbian poet, and a part of her, if you take a look at like the history of her work, you can kind of see the influence of her journey. Going from a heterosexual to lesbian, coming out of the closet, and you can kind of see the history of that. And like what I wanted to do was like I kind of wanted to challenge that, and I was kind of scared, right? It was like, well, you know, is this going to look bad on me, right? And I was talking to my prof, and my prof said, honestly, I think you have a really, really good, like a really, really good platform in terms of you set up your evidence to not dismiss what the poem is actually about, but just to kind of see things from a certain point of view. And so my argument was that it wasn't about like gender fluidity. I saw it as more like universal kind of thing, where it's about finding anyone's identity. And my prof was like, yeah, like you, like he really enjoyed the paper. I got an A on the paper, and like that was that. And like the thing is that like I was like, as someone that's really, really scared to share my thoughts and opinions, if for precisely the reason it's just like someone's gonna come after you, regardless of what it is that you might say. It happened with Toradora, where I gave some thoughts and then some people completely disagreed. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will give you props on just that paper alone, because in today's day and age, it would be quite a doozy to.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, again, it's the difference between like, what do you personally believe in?
Exactly.
What is this about?
And I mean, that's very important in trying to like look at things, what's the word, objectively, right?
Yeah. And like, and even like, this is coming from my prof who does a lot of work on American history. And my prof is very, very progressive, just by hearing his personal anecdotes and his personal thoughts during like throughout the course. And like having a very progressive prof like that even makes it even more like dangerous in terms of like,
well,
what
progressive, yeah, doesn't necessarily mean open-minded, right? So it's good that your prof was also open-minded to your ideas, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the issue that we have nowadays. It's I think we're getting very social here, but I just wanted to say, like, that's probably what happened with the Toradora episode, that there's a lot of close-mindedness in today's society.
Well, and also people are misjudging intent of everything.
Yes. Cancel culture is seeping into
we're getting too far into
this is too social. Yeah. I'm an engineer, man. Give me numbers.
So, I mean, especially with what happened over the past couple days at the Capitol building.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Holy,
yeah, that's
shit. Like, I have a lot of right-wing people on my Facebook. Some of them are
Alberta.
We're in Alberta, and
Alberta.
We are. Oh man. So yeah, I mean, like, I have a lot of right wing I guess
I'd like to say that I'm
we're gonna talk about this.
Yeah,
it's our podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
You know, like, but it sucks because I'd like to say that I'm relatively conservative when it comes to, like, the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's day and age, it's either you're fully to the right or you're mm-hmm. fully to the left, right? And there's no in between. And it sucks because economically, I'm a little bit more on the capitalist side.
But yeah, but socially you're totally liberal.
I love the fact that we have the, you know, universal healthcare in Canada, that we have mm-hmm. all these more social, like, you know, more liberal services available, mm-hmm. right? It's just the quality of life type thing. Like, mm-hmm. if I have to pay taxes for them, I'll pay taxes for them. Mm-hmm. I've always been of the mindset that I'm willing to pay for all those kinds of things, as long as it improves the quality of life of the country that I live in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do remain that the economy should, you know, be a little bit more hands off, not fully, you know, the invisible hand or whatever. But
mm-hmm. no, but like looking at a lot of my right wing friends, where they were like, all right, well, you know, them storming the Capitol building, like, that's that's bad. But, you know, all the Black Lives Matter protests, like, that's okay. And, oh, man.
You've actually seen comments like that?
I was waiting for it.
Oh.
And the thing about hurts. It is that when the Capitol was stormed, about like a day, it took about like a day for my right-wing friends on Facebook to actually like start posting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exactly what I expected. It's complete, you know, red herrings, or it's like, well, yeah, well, what about that, right?
That hurts. And,
yeah, you and then and then it. after Trump's Twitter got suspended, they went into the whole like, oh, this is a suppression
of speech
of freedom of speech, right? It was like, oh, like, you know, Bin Laden was allowed to have a Twitter. Putin has a Twitter, and why
doesn't Trump? That's ridiculous.
Anyway, that's it.
You know, I do want to also mention that it's hilarious how many like Trump loving Albertans there are.
Oh yeah,
Trump's not our president, so why are you so like? What's the word? You know, why are you so fanatic about a guy that is not even directly impacting our economy? Like, the U.S. economy does impact Canada. Like, there mm-hmm. are primary trade.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he's not directly our leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that's how
danger,
much fanaticism.
That's the danger of populism, is because that's, in some way, like, that's kind of what you want. If we can get our own like Trump figure,
Jason
here,
Kenney.
Then, well, let's not talk about Jason Kenney. anyway, that was sort of like my thoughts on the Toreador episode. It's kind of similar to how like defense attorneys need to defend like mass murderers and.
That's a good point.
Of an extreme example.
That is an extreme example, but I see what you mean. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's like you like do you?
It's not what you believe in.
Yeah, like there are a lot of lawyers who are just like, yeah, this guy is totally guilty, but at the same time, it is their right to have an attorney and to have someone defend them in court. It has nothing to do with what the lawyer might think. It's just their obligation to provide a defense, right?
Exactly.
And so I've talked to my friend about it, because my friend is in law school right now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like there's a whole ethical side to it, where you personally hate the guts of your defendant, but it's your job
duty.
To find evidence that could possibly defend this guy.
Lessen their sentence. That makes sense.
I just compared Toreador to mass murderers. I didn't think I'd do that. Anyway,
Before we move on, I wanted to say something, because we've been talking about a lot of some of the negative stuff that we got, but we did get quite a bit of positive comments as well.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't just get criticism or, like, people disagreeing with our opinions.
That's what happens when you kind of, when you stray off the beaten path, right?
That's true. But yeah. We also did get a lot of positive comments saying, like, hey, like, that's interesting. I never looked at it that way.
And then that's the thing that I'm trying to go for. Where exactly. It's like, if you think of something that isn't like the norm, isn't the most widely.
It's not the popular opinion.
The popular opinion, or yeah, exactly. Right. And yeah, the fact that some people say, you know, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going for.
Yeah. And we did get quite a bit of those comments, and I even got a personal one. One of my friends, I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast, one of our listeners, one of my friends, said that, he's the one that was telling me to watch Hunter x Hunter, and mm-hmm. he got salty when I was saying that, you know, I was pointing out all these flaws that I was seeing in Hunter x Hunter, in my opinion. And so he started watching Toradora, and right off the get-go, he was pointing out flaws, and he mentions Yasuko as being fan service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I got a text from him saying that he takes back his comment about the fan service. So I was like, hey, look at that. At least we changed one opinion. So I call that a success, in my opinion. We were able to influence people to at least see the other perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Do they agree with it? Maybe, maybe not. That's not the point anyway. We're not trying to sway people to agree with anything we say. But it's good that we presented it in a different way. Add a little spice, you know, to the regular posts on Reddit or the regular type of reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. Also, I didn't get any of the negative comments. So.
Yeah, I mean, like maybe like I was dramatizing it a little bit. It's not that people like.
Yeah, no, you weren't.
Like,
you weren't
disagree
hate,
with that,
you,
but it was the whole
you weren't
like,
getting,
yeah,
like hate
it,
messages, right?
Yeah, so. But it was the whole I don't think you're right, which is like I don't like that statement.
Yeah, because
it's in something that is so subjective, you can't say I don't think you're right.
yeah. Still though, great episode. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
are
like,
we gonna
honestly,
do those
like,
that often? Maybe not, but
I mean, we're still gonna have
deep
in-depth
dives.
Stuff. I don't think we're gonna go like that in depth.
No.
Maybe with specific shows or specific movies, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean the problem with Toradora is that it's such a long it's a longer show. If you spread 24 episodes, 25 episodes. Let's say 24 for the sake of divisibility numbers, because normally it's 3 hours or 3 episodes in an hour. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's 8 hours of material that you have to.
It'd be easier to tackle 12 episode season.
Yeah, and then in the case of Toradora, I had to watch some episodes twice, and so you're probably looking at maybe like 10 hours of total watch, and then put on top of that your analysis, and then you're looking at a good amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, put that down to a 12 episode series or even a movie that's only 2 hours long, then it's a lot quicker to do your analysis. And the analysis will probably be a lot shorter. The episode will probably be 2 hours or an hour and a half, right?
Yeah. Which there are plenty of possibilities for more deep dives. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll discuss that. That's yeah.
I did take a look to see our progression because, yeah, I wish we could redo our first episode because the first episode is what a lot of people are going to listen to.
Yes.
Because, yeah, like we want to find out what people are about. But in our first episode, we didn't know jack shit because we didn't prepare for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's what, I mean, that's probably the one thing that I learned is that even though a podcast is about just casual, like talking about certain subjects. I mean, some podcasts are very like are prepared well in advance and you have to get all the stuff out. But for ours, like it's, I think it's pretty casual.
A lot of podcasts actually have a script that they follow,
exactly.
Right.
But even though it's something that's casual and whatnot, there's still a certain amount of preparation that you need to do.
And we sort of just jumped into the deep end.
Yeah, like you don't just jump, you don't just press record and then think, oh, it's just shit, what am I going to talk about? And yeah, that's what I've learned, is that I've prepared more and more for each episode. Not like you write out everything that you're going to say, but you have your talking points. This is what you're going to talk about.
I feel like it was also sort of the sense of like, oh shit, we're actually serious about this. And then the more that we were doing it, the more I was enjoying it and the more that I was working for it, you know?
Yeah. And I think as time went on and we kind of figured out the format of what it was that we wanted to do. And I guess that goes for anything, is that you start off general and then you eventually narrow things down until you find a very specific scope. That's what I noticed when we did each episode. It's like sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work, and then eventually you get to the point where more things hit. your failure rate goes down. And I think that really started when we got more specific when it came time to like talk about shows. And we talked about this in one of our episodes kind of midway through the year, where we talked about like how hard it is to just watch every single show that comes out in a season.
Yes.
Where I would rather just choose four or five and then talk about them. And then we got to the point where you take one of those five shows that you're talking about, and then that's what you do your deep dive on.
Correct. Which is funny that you mentioned that, because I remember I started, for example, fall 2020, the previous season, I started watching like 10 shows at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was sort of like, I was trying to really keep up the watch three episodes and see if I want to keep watching it kind of approach. Needless to say, I dropped a lot of them. To the point where, like, now on my watching list, I have, like, maybe, like, six shows from the last season.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, I completed one of them, and the rest are just sitting there.
Yeah.
I haven't kept watching Tonikawa. I'm, like, seven episodes in. I just need to watch five more, but I just haven't.
Well,
same,
I mean,
with Moriarty.
After the Toradora episode, I was animated out.
Yeah, like, that's
for
the thing.
A good,
like,
amount of time.
I kind of just stuck to one show and that I've been watching, and that's it. Because the only show that I finished from the fall 2020 season was Elena.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even finished.
I haven't finished any of
the last season.
That's the only one I finished. Right now, there's only two shows that I'm watching. Attack on Titan. That's my only like weekly show. And... Mm-hmm. I am watching Hunter x Hunter.
I do want to talk about like the last season, the next season. Let's do our yearly review first, and then I guess we'll transition or segue into that.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the stats of our episodes, and our top episodes were the deep dives.
Really?
Or like the more specific ones. So Toradora is number one. Episode one, I'll discount that because usually most people will watch an episode one. Next one is Sing Yesterday for Me. Following
part one
that,
and two, or
part one and two. I guess there are two different parts.
We did the initial
analysis of the first half of the series.
Yeah.
After that is our deep dive on Rent-A-Girlfriend. And then after that is the second part of our fall 2020, where we talked about Wandering Witch and Tonikawa. those two specifically. So, I mean, like looking at the stats, like part of me thinks that people like the in-depth stuff.
Well, if that's what the numbers say, that's what the numbers say, you know?
Yeah. So like for any of the listeners, like we're always looking for feedback in terms of what it is that you guys are listening for. Like obviously it's our podcast and we can do whatever the fuck we want, but to get traffic, we're going to do some
lean on that a little.
Yeah. We're going to lean on what it is that works. Right. So like looking at the numbers, like part of me says that people like the in-depth discussion. So,
oh, don't you worry. I'm going to do a deep dive on Hunter x Hunter.
I mean, you can do that by yourself. Like nothing, like I can't help you.
I know. Cause you,
I
you
can't help you it. With that. So you can do your own rant if you want.
No, I think that there's potential for deep dives. One that I'm kind of hoping that we do. I don't know if you want to do it at some point, but Elena would be an interesting deep dive, in my opinion.
Like to look at it as a whole?
Yes.
Okay. Would that include all the stuff that we've already talked about?
That's the only issue.
Because we've already talked about it. So like, do we want to
maybe
send
we could
people only to the first episode and then talk about it afterwards? Or do we just include everything that we already included?
Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, because the thing about Wandering Witch is that it changed so much over the course of the series. Like
exactly. That's why I want to talk about it.
Like at one point it gets serious and then suddenly it gets very slice of lifey. And then it goes back into like, what the fuck is this is happening?
And then, I will. Do you mind if I tell you how it ends?
No.
Like I won't tell you what happens in the story,
sure,
but like
you can end it.
It doesn't stay dark.
Okay.
It swings back to just, you know, like kind of slice of lifey.
And like part
happiness
of me wants
and comedy.
To...
And I'm like, that's literally what I had a gripe with because I was like, stick to one thing.
I know, Gabe, but the thing is that, and like, this is what I'm thinking about when, if we are to do a deep dive, I'm trying to think of like, does that mean something to the overall message that the story is trying to say? And like, part of me thinks that like there is a point to it, in that I don't want to just go straight into it, but like the fact that things just go up and down in a series of like happy moments to dark moments to very mundane type of scenarios, like that could be just a very good allegory for life. Where life is not just about feeling like elation, there's going to be highs and there's lows, and all of that together encapsulates what life is, the everyday. So maybe I'm gonna have to work on that, but like I'm trying to think of like
that is
maybe
something
like
we could explore.
That's the approach to it, and like this is getting into very like. I'm going to go back to my English course. Like the funny thing about like taking my English course is that this is like, it's almost like akin to like the student that goes to a psych, like takes one psych course and then suddenly starts like analyzing everyone's personality. I'm aware of that. But the thing is that I've done analyses of other things before. It's just that it's been a long time since I've done literary analysis. Right. I've done a shit ton of music analysis as part of my degree. And so like doing analysis is something that I have done a bit of. But the thing is that like, you're looking for like no piece of evidence is so trivial. So long as it like supports whatever argument you're trying to make. And like when I was looking at specific poems, like sometimes like the form of a poem can actually help towards the message that it's trying to make. And like violations of form can actually represent certain ideas that the content of a poem is trying to convey. So like looking at just the inconsistency of Elena's tone, like I think that could be a good, like you could use that as evidence to support that life is exactly that. Life is erratic. Life is ever changing. It's not static. It's not relegated to just a single tone or a single feeling. And in some ways, it gives hope to those that feel as though their life is nothing but static, right? No. Yeah, we're getting to Lena, and like I need to finish the series to see what it's about, as well as like read the other material. But that's the thing. Dive. It's like I want to like that's kind of what I like doing is like, well, can I pull something out of my ass and actually
make something it have out
substance?
Of it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I do like the idea of doing quite a few deep dives, though, because you're exactly right in the sense that we usually do focus on one or two shows per season. And that, to me, would be a little bit easier than talking about every single show, because if we do talk about every single show every single time, then that kind of gets taxing. You know?
I know, and like when you talk about so many shows, what are you talking about? Because it takes so much time to really, really get into any specific show that if you're going to talk about everything, you become like extremely general.
It's a good show. It's a good show. You guys should watch it.
Yeah, it's a really, really good show. Like I like the animation. The music's really, really cool. The characters are amazing.
And this is why you should watch Boku no Pico. Yeah,
I'm not bashing people that just do those kinds of reviews.
No, not at all.
I think there's merit to that. Like, if people just want, if people need just a general idea of what a show is about, then yeah, it gives you an idea of whether or not you should watch it. Like, I was looking at the, I think we'll talk a little bit about what's happening in winter 2021. And I mean, that's exactly it, is like you take a look at to see what this thing is about. Maybe you look at a couple episodes and you say like, well, this is the tone. This is what it is. If you like this kind of thing, then this might be the show for you. If you don't like this sort of thing, then maybe you should avoid it.
But if I would just personally think that would be taxing on me, because that me personally, that would probably take away my enjoyment from watching anime. A bit,
probably, yeah.
You know, I think you understand what I'm saying, right? The whole idea that if I'm going in to watch just to see if I can recommend it to people, would eventually feel like it's taking priority over me going to watch to enjoy the show.
Exactly, right? And like that's the whole thing about this medium, is that it's so varied that you are bound to find something that you like.
Yeah, hands down.
And the thing is that, like, sometimes what you like is completely not what everyone else is watching. And, like, part of me wants to do deep, like, not really deep dives, but take a look at some of the lesser known ones, or, like, go back in history to see some other ones. 'Cause
underrated shows?
Yeah, underrated shows are just shows that were...
You know, it's
did not
funny.
Receive the spotlight as other ones.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that, and excuse me. You mentioned that, and the word underrated feels like it has lost a lot of meaning in nowadays. I just wanted to quickly mention that now that we have a Twitter, and since I'm the one that browses Twitter a lot of the time and whatnot. A lot of the times there will be threads of people like asking for anime, like suggestions or whatnot. And there will be comments saying something as, and this is not a quote, but it'll be similar to this. It'll be, Bleach is so underrated. And I'm just sitting there like, no. Bleach might be old, and so people might not be watching it right now, but mm-hmm. it was by no means underrated when it was, you know, airing.
Yeah, and then there's an argument where you'll name it obscure show. It's like, oh no, that's not underrated. Everyone likes that. Maybe we'll avoid that just to avoid any sort of confrontation. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a little bit difficult doing that. But I think it would be interesting to do deep dives on shows that do get a little bit less attention.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, like, I don't really want to do, like, I'm against the idea of doing an analysis on something like Attack on Titan, for example.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's great. Yeah, and but, like, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's because, I mean, we did a deep dive on Rent-A-Girlfriend, and that was, like, kind of, that was pretty popular when it, yes. when it came out.
Yeah. I don't think it'll stay popular.
But like any of the hard hitters out there. So doing like, let's say like Attack on Titan, JoJo's, what was that? I can't remember that shonen that was the big one of last season. What was it called?
My Hero Academia?
No.
Last season? Yeah. Jujutsu Kaisen?
Yeah. Jujutsu Kaisen.
Which, by the way, it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I'm still watching it, but it's
pretty decent. I'm watching it as well because I know the...
Oh, you started.
It's still continuing.
The animations are actually really good. I just wanted to mention.
Yeah. But, mention yeah, that, and but. So, like, I guess this is kind of where Luigi and I are doing our thoughts on what it is that we want to do for this year. Because there's an endless amount of direction in terms of where we can go.
We're only talking anime.
Like we originally said that we were going to do like video games as well, but again, like there's such a
endless
like
opportunities.
How far do you want to take it? Do you want to just do like base surface level stuff where it's like, oh yeah, like I like the game, like I like the game mechanics, so I didn't like the writing. How far in do you want to go? And like that's
it's dangerous too, because games, in order to talk about it, you have to like most likely play the entire thing. And a lot of the times it'll be like 60 hours worth of content.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a single player, because otherwise how does a single player succeed, right? Mm-hmm. You need content.
Yeah.
And like,
going back to the whole you know, watching anime, there's always something for you. Like for me, like if I'm not enjoying a show, then I'm not gonna watch it. Like
correct.
Like I don't have I mean as much as I have a lot of free time right now with COVID, like I don't want to spend all of my time just watching anime. Like that's not the kind of life that I want to have. Like I have so many other things in my life that I enjoy. And I think that's actually probably a really important part of having like a nice balanced life, is just having other things. I mean, if you're completely just like into anime and that's your thing, like more power to you. But like for me personally, I can't stick with just one thing. I personally don't think it's healthy, because you end up like relying on it as mm-hmm. Like solely on it to give you either like satisfaction or just comfort or whatnot. So like I have my cycling, which like I'm a huge cyclist. I do a lot of video and audio work. That's something that I do. I've got my career, I've got my music, I've got my social life, all that kind of stuff. And so in terms of like the amount of time that I have towards this hobby, anime, as well as the podcast, like I'm going to spend it on stuff that I like. And the cool thing about spending time on things that you like is that if you have something that you like, you're going to talk about it, and you're going to have a lot of things to talk about it. And it's, in some ways it's going to be easy to talk about it because it's something that you either like or you're passionate about. So it's kind of a win-win situation where if I'm going to choose a show that I like, that I'm going to analyze, it's going to be like the quality is going to be that much better. I'm not going to do an analysis on a harem anime, because like that's going to be torture for me to do.
Unless it's The World God Only Knows.
Unless it's The World God Only Knows or Nisekoi, where, yeah, sure. Like, let's fight Luigi.
Yeah, which, by the way, I was looking at our episodes titles, and we did have one that said, on episode 8, we had Start of the Shipping Wars, and we haven't done the Shipping Wars yet. And yeah, there's a lot of topics that we want to talk about that we just haven't, because other things pop up. Like you said, video games.
Yeah. Or like sometimes like that show just pops up where it's just like, holy shit, like let's talk about this.
Exactly. Like
Rent-A-Girlfriend pops up.
Rent-A-Girlfriend.
Like I knew it was just like, I knew looking into it, it's because again, like I knew about the series going into the watch and thinking like, I don't really want to talk about it, but we almost kind of have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did it. And like, I think we did pretty well with the episode. I think that looking at the past deep dives that we did, because we only did deep dives on Toradora Sing yesterday, Rent-A-Girlfriend, and we kind of did Wandering Witch and Tonikawa. I would probably consider that fairly in depth, because it was like an hour and a half, 2 hour episode, and we spent it on two shows. But looking at the progression, I've gotten a lot better with just being a little bit more focused with certain things. And that's the thing about analyses, is that you have to be really, really specific. It can't just be general and just list out every single observation that you can find. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yeah. And that's just the anime.
Right. And I think that's probably where we'll stick with for the time being. I mean, there's manga as well, because I read a lot of
manga.
I read more manga than I watch anime, to be
perfectly
honest. Yeah,
you can talk about manga if you want. I don't read.
I gotta find some series for you.
And I keep telling myself that I'm gonna read, but I never sit down to read. I wanna watch. I don't know. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's just not my medium of preference.
Yeah,
I guess. Because if I feel like if I'm gonna read a manga, I would prefer to have the book in front of me.
Mm-hmm. I like having my iPad because the screen is so big.
I guess,
and it's easy to read, and then you can read at night because you don't need a light.
True. My laptop folds, so I can make it into like works, a tablet. Yeah. But I just haven't done that. And I keep telling myself that I'm going to, finish Nisekoi, because I was reading the manga at one point, but then I kind of like dropped it due to university or whatever, like just, you know, whatever I was busy with at the time. And I keep telling myself that I'm also going to read what's out there for JoJo, so that I can also, you know, I know it's going to get animated because it's JoJo. It's going to get animated. But I want to see what's going on, and I also want to understand the memes on Reddit. So, but yeah, I don't read much manga, man. I don't know. We'll see. I keep saying that I'll get into it, but I just don't.
Well, what started for me was that like the show would end. And
then you want to see what happens.
You just want to see what happens, right?
And I did
that. That's probably how it started for me, was that I just really wanted to just continue the story. And then the fact that it, like manga, like a lot of series, the manga goes way further than where the show ended, that you just kind of get sucked into it. And then you start reading new series, and then you suddenly realize that the series is going to get animated, and it's just a continuous loop that you're looking for. You're just looking for new things, which is something that it's something personal for me, where like I have this want to do and see new things. And I guess that's part of it. Cause an anime will only like start once every 4 months. Whereas with a manga, like there's a huge catalog that you can go through. So.
See, what you mentioned about like wanting to find out what happens after you watch the anime, I've done that, and I've had bad experiences with it, because sometimes you don't like where it goes.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and it just completely turned me off. And one example of that, and this is actually Nisekoi. Something that I'm kind of... No. Well, Nisekoi did, at one point, I remember, because I guess spoilers, but I remember that I dropped the manga, or I stopped reading it, at the point where, what's her name? Tachibana gets like taken away by her family or something. Yeah. And she's like in her mansion and they're like going in to like save her.
They storm the house with the
mansion and they're like, we're going to fight. And then I was just reading there like, how?
Like, this is
not an action show. What's going on? This is stupid. And so I remember I kind of like lost interest there and then probably got busy with life and then just dropped it and haven't continued it. Another show that that sort of happened, funny enough, was Attack on Titan. And I say to this day, anyone that I recommend Attack on Titan to, I say like season 2 or season 3 part 1, whichever of the two, whenever they're having that internal conflict, I found that to be so boring. Because if you wanted to make a show, in my opinion, this is just all my opinion, right? But I found it so boring because it's a show where they were trying to figure out the truth about the Titans and stuff. So I don't care who the hell the real king is in parody or whatever. Like, get back to figuring out what's going on with the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Please. So I kind of lost interest in the manga there. And it wasn't until one of my fiance's coworkers, I met him and, you know, he knew that I watched anime. So, like, from the get-go, he was like, oh, you're Luigi's. Like, okay, are you watching Attack on Titan right now? And I said, no. And I explained that I read the manga, didn't like where it was going. And then he told me to watch it because it gets past that and it gets good again. And sure enough, season 3, part 2, which, by the way, I hate how now they're doing that with a lot of shows, like season 3, part 1, part 2, whatever.
It just gets
like,
confusing.
Just call it season 4. Just call it season 4.
Yeah.
No parts. Just call it season 4. But anyway, season 3, part 2 of Attack on Titan, amazing. Solid 9 out of 10, like just beautiful. And it was like the perfect layup for season 4 to start strong like it has so far. Well, semi-strong. There's a couple episodes in like the, I think the third episode and whatever, they started drawing things out a little bit too much. But anyway, I'm actually very nervous with that experience of reading manga to find out what happens, because if you don't like what happens, what do you do when it gets announced that they're going to animate the ending of the manga? Point in hand, Bleach. Bleach, the anime, ended at a pseudo, like a quasi-ending kind of place where the anime itself, yeah, it ended with maybe not fully satisfactory, but it was like a good ending point. It was like, this is a nice place to cap it, you know? But then the manga kept on going and it had another arc, which was like this huge arc where a lot of things happened that I didn't like. And last year, it got announced that final arc is getting animated. And I think it's getting released either this year or... I think this year it's starting. And now I'm sitting here nervous because I'm a Bleach fan. I love Bleach. To the point where... You know how I told you that I like to wear like subtle anime mm-hmm. merch? I was looking on that website that I like, and I found a shirt that is the epitome of subtle, in my opinion. The epitome of subtle. Because it's a purple shirt that says, nice vibe, mm-hmm. with a star.
You're going to have to explain that one
for me. Everyone would look at it and...
You're going to have to explain that one for me.
I know. So everyone would look at it and say, oh yeah, it's a shirt that just says, nice vibe, like whatever. It's literally a shirt that Ichigo, the main character from Bleach, wears in the show. Like, oh, okay. He appears in the show wearing that shirt a lot of the time. And so, unless you know that it's from Bleach and you recognize that it's Ichigo's shirt, you wouldn't know at all whatsoever. It's even more subtle than the Toradora one that I showed you, because the one mm-hmm. in Toradora has, like, the katakana on it. This one is literally in English. It just says, nice vibe.
And I'm gonna.
Yeah, I'm a big Bleach fan. I would say, like, I enjoyed the show. I've watched it a couple times. I think it's way better than Hunter x Hunter. And I'm genuinely nervous because I read a little bit of the manga, and I didn't like where it was headed.
I'm gonna,
experiences like that have turned me away from reading manga.
I'm gonna disagree. I'm gonna disagree with you. I've been spending the past couple of minutes while you were talking trying to figure out what my thoughts on this are. I think that there are. I think it depends, because really the only I really hated was the ending of Nisekoi, and I kind of use that as a kind of like a as like a comedic kind of thing, like whatever, like if the girl that I don't like ends up losing, then you know it's like whatever. But like what threw me off with Nisekoi was just the that's a really nice shirt. What threw me off with Nisekoi was part of what you were saying was just the. Was the storyline, the premise of each arc and what happened in each arc and the author trying to find some way to make things relevant to the storyline. And like when it comes to your question of does reading the manga ruin things for you, because you kind of get spoiled with what happens. It's hard to say, because like, won't you just get disappointed anyway if you were to watch it? And I don't know, because like again, this is like such a subjective thing. But like the other thing is that like even if you don't like where something is going, like so that.
My issue with at least the Bleach one.
Like, okay, so my example is Rent a Girlfriend, because
right.
I read the manga. I absolutely hated it. And then the show comes out and it's become so popular that like we kind of had to talk about it. And I remember vividly just talking about how I'm just not gonna like the show and how like I'm gonna watch it, but I'm not gonna like it. And the funny thing is that I ended up finding something about it that I liked, just because I spent a little bit of time just watching it. And then the funny thing is I kept on reading the manga, and the manga just, nothing's changed. Things are just so stupid, but I'm still reading it.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
My issue with the Bleach manga was that, The entire show had some sort of it built its own foundation of its own structure and everything, but with the final arc, the author just kind of like threw everything, all of that away, and things just started just kind of like popping up, like oh yeah, like this is how it is now. And the thing that bothered me the most is like throughout the series, barely anyone dies. And then all of a sudden in the last arc, it goes full Game of Thrones where like literally everyone's just getting perma killed.
But like, this is so circumstantial that I don't think it should completely throw you off from just like reading it.
No,
as a whole, right? If you're scared of like what's going to happen, like
it's going to get animated.
Like how many examples can you think of? Right? Like I can only think of just a few examples from I don't know how many series I've read in this past year alone. Like my current read catalog is probably 30 series long right now, and like I've already gotten rid of like a lot of stuff that I've already read. And I don't know how many things have been ruined for me as a result of me watching things or me reading it. So
I think it just comes down to the point that after having those few experiences with manga, I decided to just first try to tackle my anime watch list and catalog, since that's the medium that I enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
Also because I realized that I can't, like, I understand that there's some merit to it, but I can't read action, like, manga. I feel like if I'm going to read a manga, it has to be more of like a slice of life. Or
life of lice.
Life of
yeah,
slice.
I can understand that. Like reading
I want to see it animated.
Like reading the One Punch Man manga versus seeing it, or reading
season one. You mean right?
Yeah, season one. Or like reading Gintama and right. versus watching it. Like you want to see things.
Yeah,
you want to see things animated. You want to see the motion.
I will say another manga that I've read. I did actually read the, I guess you could call them fan fictions, but they're manga, of Dragon Ball F. Did you ever hear about that?
No, I haven't.
No? Way back when, like, Dragon Ball GT had just finished, and the internet where it was in, it kind of like its early stages, there was this huge rumor that if I'm not wrong, it was just a constant like troll
mm-hmm.
that there was another Dragon Ball series coming out.
Yeah,
and everyone would always like comment like Dragon Ball F, or is it F? No, wait, sorry, not F. AF. I forget. But anyway, it was like a Dragon Ball series that was just constantly rumored that it was coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it never did. But it actually spurred at least two authors, because there's two versions of it.
Someone made it.
Fan fiction. Some people yeah. started making their own little stories. And I did read those, because knowing that it's never going to get animated, I did find them online and I read what's out there. Because also, they didn't finish them, unfortunately. But I think that with manga, I'll probably stick to reading what's not getting animated or what's not out there, kind of thing. If I even read manga, that's mm-hmm. the issue too. I know I should get into it, but it seems like I just can't. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works for you. What exactly. I find is that there's so much. I know what I like, and yeah. in any given season, like, there's only so many shows that will fit the mold of what it is,
the
that
criteria.
The criteria of what I know I will enjoy, like things that I like that will guarantee, like I will like automatically. And like, there are a couple shows that are coming out in the winter that are kind of like that. Actually, one of them is something that I've read a little bit of, and so I know exactly what it's going to be about. But I mean, with manga, like there's so many more series out there, just because it's hard to animate things. It's hard for things to green light. And so there are so many mm-hmm. series that just will probably never get animated, but still are really, really good series nonetheless. So that's kind of part of my reason. It's just that there's so many slice of life shows out there that are not shows, but series. See,
I'm not huge in slice of life, right? So that's the other thing.
Yeah. So what's our,
you did mention this winter.
Yeah.
This season.
The thing, like I saw the winter and it's like, it's nothing with sequels. And like,
that's what I was going to say. It's literally nothing. The season of the sequels. It's Attack on Sequels.
And like, if you haven't seen the original season, then you're kind of screwed, because there's
100%.
That means that there's even more watching to get to where where this season shows are. Like yep. there is
like literally just looking at my anime list, and if you hit seasonal anime, there's one out of the top like nine that are on there. Horimiya is the only
one
that is not a sequel.
Is that the
one that you're saying that you read that a little bit about.
So yeah, looking at it, so Attack on Titan's continuing, Promised Neverland's continuing, Dr. Stone's continuing, Slime is continuing. ReZero is continuing. Quintuplets is continuing. Cells at Work is continuing. Log Horizon is continuing. I will watch that.
Yes, I will watch
Stars is continuing. Horizon, so. Eurocamp's continuing. Oh, God.
Seven Deadly Sins.
Yep.
Cells at Work Black. Eurocamp.
Nonnenbiri is continuing. Like, everything is just a sequel. Like, and like there's so few new stuff. And like, I've been trying to read whether or not like I'm actually going to watch them. There's a couple slice of lifey drama shows that are out there, but they look pretty general. So I'll have to watch them to see if I'm actually going to like them. So, I mean, we will probably do a winter preview probably at the end of the month after, again, our usual four episodes have passed and we actually have some time to digest things. Maybe we'll keep things to like the new stuff rather than the sequels. If you're continuing a series, like, does anything really change unless animation studios have changed or it's a brand new arc?
Things haven't
really changed. Like, when you were like throughout the season, when you're talking about Haikyuu, you were really just like, well, Haikyuu's Haikyuu.
That's all
you need to know. Like, just keep on watching it.
Yeah. That's literally all I would say. For example, Attack on Titan, like, yeah, the animation studio changed. It's still pretty good. There's a bit of 3D animation in there, if that bothers you.
You can talk
about
how things have changed. But if the story is like continuing, like, you might even be in the same arc moving from one season to the next, in which case it's just a continuation, right? So, like, maybe we'll keep our winter preview to just the new stuff that has come out.
The new ones.
It'd be interesting to talk about Cells at Work Black, for example. I do want to talk about that. I'll take a look at some of the Slice of Life stuff.
Cells at Work.
Yeah, I will definitely watch the Slice of Life stuff and just see how they are.
You talk about it.
Yeah.
The funny thing though is, like, I'm looking at a lot of these, and most of them I will probably be watching the sequels. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many of the new ones will I be watching.
Yeah. I mean, like, I need to watch like the first seasons of a lot of this stuff before I can.
There's a lot that I would probably tell you, like, I already know that Slime is probably not going to be your thing if you never watched the first season.
I don't like isekais.
Yeah, like, this was actually like a funny isekai. Like, I enjoyed it, but like, I wouldn't recommend it to someone that doesn't like isekais. I haven't seen the first season of Beastars, but I've heard that it's really good. So I do intend to watch the first season of that. Promised Neverland, I don't know if you would like it.
I've seen a couple episodes. I want to continue. Well, I just like the premise.
Yeah, I hope you would like it. Because the premise is very interesting. And yeah, I mean, the first season was strong. It was a very good first season. Mm-hmm. And the first opening. Oh, God. So good. So good.
Anything that I could possibly do a, like, some sort of analysis on. And, like, there's a lot in Promised Neverland.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
There are so many directions that you can look at it from.
If you wanted to do a deep dive on it, I'd be so down. Mm-hmm. I would just have to rewatch season one. Because I never looked at it critically when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. I was just in for the ride, you know? But other than that, like, oh yeah, and Log Horizon, I know you're going to watch that already, but Seven Deadly Sins, no, you're not going to like that, so don't watch it. That's it, really, out of the ones that I know. It's an interesting season. Dr. Stone, you might like it.
I've seen Dr. Stone, yeah.
Did you watch all of season one?
Not all of season one.
But you've seen some of it? I think I watched like three episodes in and then I dropped it. I thought I would like it because it has the whole like science-y things and
yeah, there are. I have whatnot, a couple. I have a couple gripes with it.
I have a lot of gripes with it.
I have a couple gripes which like makes it sometimes hard to watch.
But I also didn't really like the animation. I couldn't look past it. The freaking, some of the characters' eyes look like they're like way too far apart. I don't know if you saw those memes.
No, for me, it's like, I don't know. For me, it's like, it's character motivation.
That too.
That really.
Oh yeah, like the main antagonist guy.
That
he's like,
me off.
I hate adults. I'm gonna kill all the adults. Yeah. And I was like, that's like, so that, stupid.
That was a very. I didn't
too
like
childish,
that.
Too shallow. Yeah, like that's not a
good
villain.
We're in an apocalypse, and
I agree. Yeah, that's another thing, though, right? Like a show like that has to have a good antagonist. Like, it's crazy how having a bad antagonist can damage a story so much.
Well, if the thing that pushes back against the protagonists is weak or just very
or non-existent,
just not very believable or not very like three-dimensional, then it makes for a really weak show. So.
I did want to, I think I sent you a text about this, but I did want to say that I know I've been talking a lot of stuff about Hunter x Hunter, but I've continued to watch it. So clearly it's not a bad show. It's a decent show. And it finally got good. Like, I'm finally like getting interested in it, like for sure, like how I usually do with shonens around episode 112 out of 148. That's not a good percentage, but I am getting interested in it now to the point where I am watching more than a few episodes at a time. You know that that feeling of I want to see what happens next.
Yeah, you want to keep on going.
I finally have that feeling, which I was waiting for that to arrive, and yeah. Just wanted to mention that briefly. I'm not bashing it. I just, you know, I do it for the memes for the most part. Yeah,
there are a couple of things that I'm going to be watching over the next couple of weeks. Probably in this season of sequels, it'll probably give me the time to do it. So I've been working on a personal project, and that might turn into its own episode at some point. But that's what's upcoming for me. I'm looking through the list right now. So that's all I got.
Yeah, no, I think that after I finish Hunter x Hunter, I'll be able to dedicate more time to series that I've been planning to watch, especially the ones that do have sequels coming out, like, because I've said multiple times that I've been meaning to watch Beastars or Cells at Work, and I just haven't, mostly because I've been watching this long-running show that's kind of been taking up most of my anime time right now. And I do mean to finish the ones from fall 2020. We'll see if I do. I hope I do. But I think there's a lot of anime that we can talk about. But I also do want to take... And I mean, you and I can discuss this also outside of the podcast. But like, I would like to approach a couple of topics that are not anime related, to kind of bring more freshness, you know, something different.
Like what?
Like, well, I mean, we mentioned video games. We mentioned what were some of the other topics that we've talked about? One of our listeners also mentioned that we could talk about, like, I guess this has to do with anime, but like merchandise and stuff. How do we approach it? And cosplaying and all of that, like more of the culture side of things instead of just shows.
We could do that. Like, I'd have to think about what it is that I'd want to say about it, or if I even have an opinion on it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Exactly. If we have any ideas like that, just things that are not necessarily just shows.
Yeah, there were a couple things that I was thinking about talking about, which were, I guess you can say they're Japanese related. But I'd have to put like put everything on the drawing board first and see if it's actually worth making an episode about.
Here you have Nintendo versus PlayStation.
Pretty good. I don't have like I haven't played enough to create an actual credible
full thought I guess on it. Quick question for you on that one. Which one did you play the most when you were younger?
Oh, probably Nintendo.
Okay, because I was more of a PlayStation kid.
Yeah, I mean...
There's also music.
Yeah, there's so many things out there. But I'm just thinking about, like, how do you prepare for this sort of thing? You'd have to play a bunch of games, or you'd have to think about it.
That's the other thing, yeah.
So, yeah, well, this is all on the drawing board, and we can sort things out if people want an episode on it, then we'll give it to them.
So many places we can go.
That's all I got in terms of information. I really don't have anything else. I am out.
You're out. I think I mentioned everything that I wanted to talk about. Obviously, with that in mind, with all the possible topics that we can explore, if we find points on it, we might. And listeners, you know, like you can request things. We might do it. We might not do it.
Yeah, I mean, really, we'll take it into consideration, really, this is the time for feedback, because this will give us a chance to plan out exactly how like the next couple months will go, how the next year will go. If we like deep dives, then it gives us a chance to actually like think about, all right, well, where would be the best time to do this?
And what shows?
Yeah, exactly. What shows? So
because we can do deep dives on new shows, or we can do deep dives on like
on old shows, right? And then really we'd have to figure out a time to do that. Like a year long project could be to do an Evangelion deep dive, and I don't really want to do that.
Jesus.
Like, I don't want to die.
That would be a doozy. I haven't seen the movies yet, but I have seen the series twice.
Yeah. I mean, but when you can write actual dissertations on a show, like that's...
Yeah, that's a... that might be a bit too much for right? me, man. So, I don't know.
I mean, at that point, like, yeah, you need to choose a certain thing about it to talk about. And then talk about just that one thing, because like, if Toradora was hard to do,
Evangelion would be
man. So yeah,
I would rather do a deep dive on something like Cowboy Bebop than
Cowboy Bebop Evangelion. Would be a great thing to talk about.
I would love any excuse.
This is on the drawing board, so we can talk about this over the next little bit. So we'll end it there. Yes, sir. So thank you so much for listening to this this recap reflection episode of the Connect Otaku podcast. Again, we're always looking for feedback. You can find us on social media. You can send us a DM. You can
send us an email.
You can send us an
email. We got a comment about that on the Toradora episode, we didn't mention our email. But
you can send us an email. You can send us a Telegram. All our information is available. is available.
Morse coded to us.
So we'll just end it there. So thanks a lot, you guys, for watching. We will see you guys in the next episode.
Janne.